What is up, everyone? Welcome to Xbox Ultimate Podcast, episode 183. This is the No Doom and Gloom podcast. This is the podcast where we talk Xbox and everything green and good and awesome, and green is in the financials as well. That is something that we saw yesterday. I personally don't really give a shit, but you know what? There's really nothing else to talk about. So, because next month is when all the games start dropping in the second half, and I feel like everybody's kind of been waiting for this second half of the year. Everybody says they're in a rut right now because there has been a lack of big AAA, huge first-party Xbox releases this year. Meanwhile, we've actually had some damn good games, and I've been pretty damn happy. But other than that, like, there's going to be a really exciting second half. The numbers for Xbox are good, although maybe deceptive, says IGN. We're going to get into that and some interesting comments and feelings out there about the success of Xbox and why, for some reason, it doesn't count. I don't understand. But we got a smaller panel tonight. I don't know who all is going to end up popping in here. You know how we do it here on Fun Speculation. It's like whoever's available. But we do have the amazing Fuzzy Belvedere tonight. What's up, Fuzz?
What's up, everyone? Glad to be here. See Psycho joining us here tonight as well. Hopefully Game Pass Dad can swing by as well. But yeah, it's been light on the gaming news, but I'm not in a rut. Yeah. I definitely got some stuff to play. Falling back into Fallout 4. They just did that graphics update and I'm having fun with that. Saw the trailer, what was it, late last week for the Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
Yeah.
Kind of falling into that. And then I just call it Zao. I haven't gotten a chance to play that yet on my Steam Deck, but it's already preloaded. Just been bouncing around a lot of games and still playing, you know, Forza Horizon 5 and GT7. So those are like my daily go-tos, but everything else is just like, hey, I haven't touched this in a while. Oh, and Deathloop. That's another one that I'm kind of falling back into because I just felt like shooting stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's like the backlogs are immense right now, dude. I don't know if I'll ever be able to play all the games that I want to because they keep coming out. Psycho, dude, thanks for hopping in tonight, man. I wasn't sure if you're gonna be able to make it or not.
No, yeah. Usually when I close open, usually it's just hard on me to do it, but, with last night, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna definitely hop on because I would like to do the gaming draft like
did. Yeah, we can do that. I wasn't sure if we're gonna do it or not still, but you know what, you're here, so let's do it. Pong's not able to join us tonight. He's got some stuff going on. He's got a headache too. So hope you feel better, man. But it'll be probably just be us three unless. Either 3-bit or Game Pass Dad or somebody ends up being available to stop in. But, yeah, it's been going good at work.
Yeah, everything's been going very well. Seeing just so much stuff that's coming out, I've been buying games left and right. I picked up Sandlands for Xbox, you know, since it's the last.
You still haven't? Have you touched Dragon's Dogma yet?
No, dude. It's
like you. So you bro, got another game. You got another dude, one.
I've
to
bought
add?
Three like, games since Dragon's.
Have Dawn you finished Unicorn now. Overlord?
No, it's so
what the,
fucking.
What the hell are you doing? You're like, just wait.
I'm playing games.
Well, just like
I'm playing Unicorn Overlord.
Sandland will be $20 in like 3 weeks, man.
I know, but no. Well, see the thing with Xbox, I wanted a physical version.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
the
yeah.
last game from Akira Toriyama. You know, it's the last thing. I was like, and usually they don't land on Xbox. And I was like, I can't.
Yeah, you want to support the devs. On. Yeah, I got it.
Well, not even that. I want to support Akira. I want his last game. I love his artwork. So to show homage and respect to the man, I was like, let me pick up this game.
I understand. Did you have you been watching the anime at all? The Sandland anime?
No, I have not. I've been.
You want to support them, but not that much. I understand.
Well, no, the thing is between Unicorn Overlord, I hopped in into some Euden Chronicles 100 Heroes last night. That is really good. I don't know if you've even touched on that. There's base building, four times strategy. There's a lot of elements of different genres in this game. I was like, ooh, okay. I like, so far, everything is right up my alley. I'm loving it. And the game just can, to me, is now opened up because there's, you know, you're very limited in the very beginning. Now things are starting to open and got a bunch of heroes from where I last left off. And so I'm like, okay, and really enjoying that. But again, Unicorn Overlord, fucking loving that game. It's taking long because you have to definitely get the right squad for, because each area in the game utilizes different units, so you can't run just the same units or they're, you know, you're going to get wiped out.
Right.
So you have to adjust for that and trying to find out.
Paper, rock, scissors, a little bit.
A little bit of strategy to, you know, because you got to see who, what, you know, defeats what, you know, and it's one of those, it's just really good, but it's time consuming when you do all that. So it's like, it's not a quick progression. It's not a game. It's not a standardized RPG. You can just hop in, play, level up your character, really not strategy thoughts into it, you know. And so that's really what's taking a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I just keep adding those RPGs to your backlog, man. Because
oh my God, dude.
It is the greatest time in like RPG history, probably. Like over this last like year and a half, 2 years, it's just absolutely insane.
It is. And don't forget, I pre-ordered the physical copy of Baldur's Gate 3, and that some bitch is coming soon. So right. I'm gonna be my RPG back. If you're an RPG fan this year, you're fucking eating so good right now. It's insane the amount of RPGs that have came out. It's just nuts. I mean, you got the Final Fantasies, the Sandlands. It just keeps going, and I got South Park Snow Day that I haven't even fucking opened. Still sealed.
Yep. And then you have games like Euden Chronicles, 100 Heroes, and Game Pass. Yes. And you have Granblue Fantasy Relink dropped this year. You know,
I beat that. I did beat that because it was a shorter game.
Right.
So I beat it. I didn't do the end game stuff, but I'm like, there's no way. There's no fucking way.
Yeah. They're all massive games. You know, even you say shorter game, it's not really.
No,
it's still a big game, you know, like, but it's a big game. Some of these other ones.
Exactly. Compared to Unicorn Overlord, Dragon Dogma 2, probably Sandland, you know, those Dragon's Dogma 2, those games are just very in depth and time consuming. And it's fuck, man. I'm loving it, though. I don't give a fuck. If there's a dry year again, I'm okay. I got shit to play. So with these people saying, hey, there ain't nothing to play. Okay. Sorry, we don't get the free revert codes. Put it on easy mode and just blow through it just to give us fucking score. Like, sorry.
Yeah. That's, well, you know, soon they won't even have to play those games. They'll just be able to put it on autoplay. Right? Is that is that what it's called, Fuzz? Sony patented autoplay for people?
Yeah. It's I don't know if it'll happen, but yeah, they patent it, and
oh, dude,
we'll see if they can play Twitter and autoplay their PlayStation.
I mean, look, can we just be real though? Most of the exclusive big first party PlayStation exclusive games are already mostly autoplay.
Yes.
Quick time.
You have to hit a button occasionally, right?
Yeah. QTE events. You know.
Have y'all seen that one joke video about the the big PlayStation exclusive, and the guy's like, all right, time to play.
Yep.
And then like five minutes goes by. This is great. It was riveting. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now the full movie. Put it on autoplay. Just watch the cutscenes and then play itself.
Get the trophies automatically and say, look, I played the game. What are you talking about?
Mr. Waffle says Sony has more patents than games this year. Mr. Waffles, that is savage.
No lie there. No lie there.
So savage. You know, you got to give him props for securing the third party exclusives still, right? That's their model, you know?
But I strictly remember in 2022 when Xbox had only third party, it was trash.
Didn't count.
Xbox had no games.
Yeah, it didn't count.
And, but this year, third party counts because it's okay.
Yeah, less is more, man. We just want the bangers.
Yeah.
They got to wait until they get that autoplay finished. That's what they're waiting on.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And then the remake, The Last of Us, God of War, Horizon for the PS5 Pro. So this way people can rebuy it.
Yeah.
You know, $10-$20 upgrade, you know, because you need that really high visual video game update so you can play your favorite games all over again and experience it like it's brand new.
Yeah.
And crisp for upscaled 4K at 45 FPS, because that's the whole new thing. Let's put it at 45 FPS. That's fine. I don't mind. It's better than 30.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. I'll take it as if over nothing. That's for sure. Like, at least give me the option, because VRR I think will help if you have a VRR monitor. But like, yeah, some of the only 30 frames games, I'm like. We're gonna get that with Hellblade 2 on console, right? We got that with Starfield on console. So,
but if you look at it, a lot of these games are just still, truthfully, not really optimized for what is in a console. It really isn't. When we jump up to a 3.8 megahertz CPU, that really is, you know, it's a Ryzen 2, but really. It's an upgrade from the Jaguar chips, and it's like the less optimization these devs are really doing, because they're like, oh well, PC, we don't have to do shit, and that 4090 and, you know, your i9 14900K fucking CPU, it's going to take care of it. If you don't have it, sorry, play it on play at the least resolution, and it's just more and more, it's like the less time optimizing, because the games are so expensive to develop, because they're trying to get 4K 60, they're trying to do these really big budget games, they don't have the time. You can't pump them out 2-3 years like they used to be, you know. Now they're taking 5-6 years, maybe more, depending on, you know, who it is. Grand Theft Auto 6. It's taking a really freaking long time, and it's just fucking crazy how, you know, it's like, well, even if you go and put a bigger hard drive in these consoles, it's CPU in these consoles, what is it going to really do if the fucking development teams are not really optimizing? So it's a fucking double-edged sword when it comes to our fucking to these really the consoles, because devs are
that 10% boost mode is gonna help a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
My asshole, 30% is 3% fuckers, so yeah, it'd be 33 FPS, not 60 like these fucking idiots think.
So If you're into, go ahead.
Don't get me started, because it's the same CPU speed as Xbox. Now I was gonna say it's the same fucking the boosted mode on the 10% is the same speed as fucking Xbox. Pretty much, it's 0.05 faster. That 0.05 ain't gonna do fucking shit. It ain't gonna fucking do.
Man, it's gonna make a GTA run at 120 frames per second, man.
Yeah,
let's go.
put down the crack pipe, whoever's saying that.
I saw somebody in one of our comments say that if Hellblade 2 was on PlayStation, it would run at 4K 120 because PlayStation is the most powerful console this generation, is what they said.
Yeah, put down the crack pipe.
That was a real comment. That's a real Hellblade 2. When we found out it was only 30 frames,
right?
Yeah, they said it was a real. That's a real comment in one of our podcasts when we were talking about Hellblade and 30. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, sometimes you see certain comments and you just like don't respond because you just have to like kind of laugh at it. Like, but no. Like these are people that actually think these things
because they heard it from an idiot that said it, so now it has to be true. So they regurgitate it, and now it's like, oh, it's the fact because Joe Schmo over here said it. You know,
it is. It's like, who knows who says
macroeconomics, all that shit counts. You know,
the Xbox PC had another hit drop in Game Pass today. Actually, and Manor Lords came out. And it's not on console yet. It'll eventually come to console. It's in early access, and it is like taking off on Steam. PC has like had so many games this year just break records, right? Like,
oh yeah.
And today, Manor Lords is another one that was breaking records, and it's weird that it's happening because it's a fucking strategy game. This is an RTS, really? Like strategy game. Yeah, and it is literally breaking records on Steam now with concurrent users and all these kind of things, especially for the genre. But this is another game that Xbox managed to get into Game Pass for PC as well. It's breaking those records on Steam. But also, like, this is something that I think, like, not really anybody's talking about, the fact that Xbox has this for PC Game Pass, but it's another huge thing. It's like, for that audience that is into PC gaming, if you have Game Pass Ultimate, like I would have bought Manor Lords, right? I was going to. And I forgot. I was like, oh yeah, it's in PC Game Pass. I don't have to, right? Like, yeah. It's a win. I freaking love it. And this is a game that's been developed by like a solo dev for a very long time. It was highly anticipated on Steam. And now it's actually come out and people are loving it. So I think it's something. I know your PC probably can't handle it right now, Psycho, but it will come to console eventually. They're working on it, right?
Awesome.
So it's one for you to keep an eye on, for sure. Have you paid attention to Manor Lords at all, Fuzz?
Trying to see if it's the one I think it is. Is it the one where it's almost like a city builder kind of thing? Yeah,
it's a city builder mixed with RTS elements, and it's like set in medieval times, like kind of hyper realistic world that you're in, and it's just really detailed, looks gorgeous, cool mechanics with it, really different. It's a genre blend type game.
I think that's one that I was planning on trying it on PC Game Pass after, you know, going back to Kingdom Come Deliverance, so for like that time period type of stuff. I think that was one I wanted to give a try, because City Skylines didn't kind of work out as well as I had hoped. I'm hoping a few patches will kind of get that all cleaned up, but this one I want to give a try just for a different approach to like Kingdom Come Deliverance type stuff, just because it just seemed like it was a cool build up as far as how detailed the cities and the houses and all the different you know, things in that game. They definitely put their time and effort into the small details and things. So yeah, I'm probably going to wind up trying it out, and more than likely wind up buying it on a discount through Game Pass. So
yeah, right on, man. Yeah, it's something that's really cool with something I don't really think about a lot is the whole PC side of Game Pass, you know, and primarily a console gamer. Contrary to popular belief out there, who I know some people think that all Xbox influencers only play on PC now. I've seen that going around multiple times, because a lot of us have PCs and we play on PC quite a bit, but like I still prefer to play on console, and I play their not as much lately as I would like to, but it's mainly because the kinds of games that have been coming out this year, right? Where you had like RPGs like in the multiplayer games that are popular on PC and these different kinds of things. And I feel like PC has been really the place to be this year for the most part, regardless of what platform you enjoy the most. But I look ahead of what's coming around the corner with all of these games coming to Xbox, and I'm going to be playing those on the console. But for right now, still like another game that's only on PC right now, that isn't Game Pass for there, that is a kind of becoming a sensation in that PC world, is in Game Pass. And I feel like it's worth noting because nobody, see, it seems like nobody even talks about it. And we think about the success of a game like PAL World, like PC is a big part of that success, right? Okay, Xbox consoles were as well. But it seems like just like Helldivers for PlayStation, PAL World for Xbox, like increasingly more and more, the trend has been, especially this last year, like PC has kind of set the momentum for game success. And I feel like Xbox is aware of this. And that's why we're going to get into the financials and talk about where Xbox is at in a little bit, because the numbers don't lie. You keep seeing these Steam numbers and all these things going on and more players migrating to PC because you can get a great experience there. It doesn't mean consoles are dead or anything like that, but it's an interesting trend, to say the least, because it's hit after hit after hit. Like almost all these successes, like the big successes from the past year, have been really pushed by the PC market. You think back like 10, 20 years ago, it wasn't really like that. You know, it was the opposite, you know.
I think these handhelds now, these Steam Decks, ROG Allies, Legion Goes, especially now that a lot of them are getting discounts on like the previous model, or you know, on the lower spec model, like you can get them now between $300 and $400, which that's still not like completely console price cheap, but it's getting pretty close to like almost I wouldn't say impulse buy level, but it is close enough to console pricing where you can play it as a handheld. And yes, it doesn't come with a dock, but you can buy docks to hook it to your TV or hook it to your monitor and have it where it has a power supply all the time. Some docks even have like a network cable, so you can have, you know, wired internet instead of doing the Wi-Fi. So yeah, I think.
Do you think that's where an influx of players have come from? Is like that market kind of expanding, like not just the traditional PCs?
I think so. And then I think like after a year or two, people realize, hey, maybe it's not so, you know, scary building or buying like a pre-built, you know, PC that's more permanent. But like, I think that's like the gateway drug or something,
right,
where they kind of get their feet wet. It costs them about what they would spend on a console, and they see, oh, I get access to these early access games, or, you know, it's easier for me to play, you know, an RTS on a Steam Deck with like the little mouse pads, as opposed to waiting for them to do the controller support on some of them, or even using the controller in comparison to it. So I think that's kind of where some of this growing is coming from. But bear in mind, these things aren't setting the world on fire as far as their numbers. Like, I would say Steam Deck is probably the most successful at like a couple million of them out in the wild at this point. But that's, you know, word of mouth. A lot of people are like, oh yeah, I play that on Steam Deck. Oh, what's that? And, you know, it's like those that have a Switch will automatically recognize, oh, it's more powerful than a Switch and it plays PC stuff. Yeah, I could spend $300 or $400 on that.
I will say probably the people that are buying those devices are playing a lot of games, right?
Yeah.
So it's probably a high attach rate and high gameplay like market there, to where you're somebody that owns like a handheld PC device, gaming device, is like a pretty hardcore gamer for the most part, right? I mean, I'm sure there's people that just like to buy gadgets and just kind of collect them and stuff like that. But that's not the majority. The majority would be like, I need this because I want to have this affordable PC experience and get all these games for cheap and play a lot of these games, right? And it's a good experience. I've had a Steam Deck. I will definitely buy an Xbox handheld if they have one, for sure. But I still prefer playing in a chair with a screen in front of me, whether it's here on my PC or sitting on a couch on the TV. I have a screen right there where I play console games. It's where I stream from the console here as well. And for me, the driving force between the decision to play on Xbox or PC usually comes down to one thing. And that is it 60 frames on console? Right? Fidelity, like extra bells and whistles with graphics, it's nice sometimes, right? Yeah, you can really make the game shine. But the smoothness of the gameplay, 90% of the time I will choose that. And that's something I really appreciated early on this gen with the consoles. We're getting it less and less as these games get bigger and more ambitious. But the PC, for some reason, you know, they give us more options, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you have lower end PCs, you can still play these games at 60 frames, a lot of them. So, but that's kind of why I choose to play what I play. But Xbox says they're content with that because they're going to meet the players where the players are. That's what Satya says. The financials came out, guys. And let's take a little bit of a look at this because some people are, you know, really disappointed with the one aspect of this. That's a, you could say a concern. I think it's kind of expected at this point. And that was the fact that the console hardware year over year from the last quarter three is down 31%. Despite the fact that everything else is up astronomically. And that's a big part to do with ABK. But even without just that, talking about usage and player time and player retention and the people accessing their games and all that kind of stuff, all of that's up as well. So the biggest metrics have been engagement. That's what Xbox looks at. Right. And everything is up, but there's less consoles. Right. So I try and put myself into their mind a little bit of like why they make the decisions that they do. And I feel like if we can kind of see the writing on the wall a little bit, where the trend's been going with console hardware the last couple generations, and especially this generation, even on PlayStation, is that people really aren't migrating over to next gen at the rate that they used to. And they really are kind of content either playing a last gen console still, if they have one, or they are getting PCs instead or getting something else to play on. And you still have your dedicated console enthusiasts that are always going to play that way. But that is becoming less and less of the market. And if you look at some of the casuals, even them who would just be the de facto device to buy a PlayStation 5, most of them have stopped buying console games. So they have something just sitting there that they just let sit there and they don't buy games on it anymore. And I think they probably own a PC also, and that's where they're getting their games. It's really interesting to see kind of the way the console hardware has gone. I think Nintendo's the only one that's really maybe going to sustain longer with the high console sales. But I don't think that means consoles are going away. And I don't think that is reason to be worried in the short term for consoles. If you want to have a conversation to just be a realist out there, we've said this for a long time, eventually, that there's not going to be necessarily a reason to have a console because of technology, right? And I think this is happening sooner than a lot of people think and realize. And so we may talk about another generation, right? And then that kind of be it. But we know that it's going to happen because Xbox has already told us. So when it comes to the doom and gloom about, I'm so concerned that there's not going to be hardware when they're already told us they're announcing hardware. That's where I don't really understand a lot of the concern out there. What were we going to say, Psycho?
No, I was going to say with the being down 33%, if you look at everything right now, there's more gamers switching to PC, getting PCs, because a lot of stuff that people have on, they see the Xbox, you can, a lot of it's on PC. It's the better platform to play, the higher resolution, better frame rate. So people are seeing this. Casuals are still stuck on, PlayStation has to be because of Call of Duty. But once Xbox, starts putting out there, it's in Game Pass, whenever they do that, you're going to start seeing, they're taking the hit now because they're seeing that, there's no big push for hardware with Xbox because that's not their metric. They measure success within Microsoft anymore. It's software, because they're a software company, and that's, at the end of the day, that's why they push Game Pass. That's why they've released 4 games on PlayStation and Sony. Hence, all games go to PC, and now we're seeing games are going to NVIDIA, GeForce.
Yeah, a lot of that is because of the ABK deal and the contracts that they signed too, right? So
there's more access for games, Microsoft, that they're going to make hardware because they said they're going to make hardware. They said at least 2 more generations before they're fully where the technology is where it needs to be. The infrastructure in the United States, it's where it's at, where you can play your stream your games on, good internet's everywhere. Right now, our internet infrastructure sucks comparing to South Korea, Japan. When you look at those two countries, then you look at us, we have probably the worst infrastructure right now, unless you're in big cities. But even then, they're gouging prices. When you have a monopoly on the internet in the area, when you only can get one internet provider, you're not going to get best speeds at a good value. Can't afford.
We only have one option at our house for internet.
Yeah. And people can't afford to really spend that kind of money. It's either or, it's like, do I get cable? Do I get internet? If I get internet, I got my phone, I got hotspot. Some people, really can't afford all those extra amenities. So right now, something's got to go. So this country is not where it's at, where it needs to do to have, to go fully digital and stream everything, because the country is just not there yet. Eventually we'll get there. They'll start seeing, they'll have better infrastructure. We're finally getting fiber optics where I live, finally. And, it's a slow burn with these guys. So it's going to take. That's why at least 2 generations, and we'll see if it goes. But for them being down 33%, it is what it is, because Xbox doesn't emphasize hardware like Sony does. Sony must sell hardware so people can buy their software. That's what they need to do.
Biggest part, right? Psycho is like, I feel like the for so long, the success of Xbox or PlayStation has been determined primarily by how many consoles they sell, right?
Correct, because you're locked into that ecosystem.
And that's been the hardest thing, I think, and this started last generation when Xbox started making these moves about people's perception changing. And it's been never more clear than after since the ABK deal, right? About what the future and direction is. And I think that overall, all they care about is people getting access to and playing their games, right? And now having exclusives and stuff like that still matters to have things to your platforms and to your subscription services and hardware devices that are going to drive people to those. And I don't think they're just completely abandoning all of that philosophy for that. They are transitioning some, but their success is not determined on console. But would they abandon console just outright? No,
not right now.
No, because they would be abandoning a huge part of the market.
Like, no, 100%.
That's why they won't do that. And I feel like that's what people don't understand. Like, they're not, well, if there's even like 40 million people that are willing to buy a console over the course of a generation, right? That's 40 million people that they will make money off of in microtransactions and storefront purchases and all of these things. Yeah. They make 30% more in their own stores than they do on just putting things on PlayStation and all that kind of stuff. And it also would be a mistake for Microsoft to be completely dependent on somebody else's hardware for that market. Like, they have to dictate somewhat what the market is if you have so much at your disposal that you're trying to release games onto for that audience, right? So there's so many reasons why they're not going to abandon the console space. But the determination of success is not dependent on how many consoles they sell. It's going to be up to the consumers to decide on which devices they want to play on. And if you decide to play on PC, if you decide to play on Xbox hardware, if you decide to play on a handheld device or a third party's handheld device or what all of those places, all they care about is if you are playing their games, right? And that's going to be the determining factor of the success of this brand when they have all of these different things at their disposal. It's no longer just Halo, Gears, and Forza in a box.
Yeah, people are still wrapped up on the old way, the traditional way of consoles are. Xbox, they won't get out of hardware, but the hardware market will shift. So when things go more streaming line, you'll have a device to either a handheld, if they stick with handhelds, or they have a streaming device. The hardware will still be there. It's just, what is the hardware? Yeah. Because if hardware, when they get the technology there, where the games are better streamed than they are played natively, you don't need a big machine to really pump these games out because it's already done through the cloud because of the servers. So that's where Microsoft is trying to get to that point. And again, Microsoft, you know, they will never get out of the hardware market, but the hardware market will shift because of technology. You always adapt and grow with the growth of what the technology is changing to. That's, you either adapt or die. Microsoft is adapting. Sony, let's hope they adapt. Because we don't want a world where Sony's not there. Say what you want. I prefer Xbox over Sony, but it keeps competitive prices and pushing games and things along that nature. When you got someone that's very stubborn and must stay with the traditional sense of how they do things, I mean, again, where's BlackBerry? Where, you know, there's, I mean, you see these things, it shit happens. If you don't adapt, you get fucking left behind.
Where's Nokia? Oh, wait.
Well, that was a Microsoft thing.
I know. I'm just kidding. Fuzzy, like 31% down in the hardware department from last year's quarter three, which is also not a great year for hardware for them. Right.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, is this a Xbox is doomed moment? Where do you see the hardware space going forward?
I don't see it as a doomed moment for them. I just see it as when you have the back end of the year more heavily loaded with games as opposed to the front end, you're going to have a little bit of a miss as far as, you know, pushing hardware, because people aren't going to really look at the hardware unless there's, you know, the first party software that's bringing them to that. And a lot of people, I would say, that haven't jumped to next gen that want next gen probably already have it. So I think there is still a large number of those that are on Xbox Ones or PS4s, and it's going to take something like possibly a Hellblade 2 or something else that comes out maybe a little bit later this year, like an Avowed or something that won't be on the previous gen, that will convince them to hop over. But until you get to that point, there's not as much of a driving force. Like, we still see that they're doing cross-gen for Call of Duty. Now, is this next one going to be next-gen only? We'll see. If I think that'll be the telling tale or the telling sign that once something like Call of Duty and, you know, 2K and Madden only do next-gen, that's when it's going to kind of force the hand of those that are like, right, well, I don't need to upgrade just
but
yet.
But do you think they're holding on longer than usual because, like, the fact that the market just hasn't migrated over either as much? Like,
I think it is. It's almost like a chicken and the egg kind of thing, where they're playing chicken. It's
usually like, there's like 2 years, maybe three or so, but like we're 4 years into this and they're still like, I wouldn't be surprised if next year both all the games don't come cross-gen. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they said otherwise, I don't know why they wouldn't release on last gen.
Yeah, it's hard to say because, like, normally, like previous generations, by now, this would be next gen only.
Right.
Sorry for your luck if you're on the older hardware kind of thing. And that's the way that the publishers used to be. But given the economy what it is, and yes, they did that price increase to $70, and that has hurt sales. Like, when things were 60, I think people were more willing to just hit the buy button and not think twice about it. When it's 70, that extra $10 may not seem like a whole lot, but if you're used to buying 5 or 6 games a year, it starts to add up after a while. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, I should wait until reviews, or maybe I'll wait until a sale, or maybe I'll wait until it's in my subscription service. So you kind of have to deal with that customer base that may be still waiting for, you know, the time when they do finally hop over to next gen. Or you're going to have to, you know, you force the hand and then you might cut off your face or cut off your fingers.
It's a situation because, like, it really, like, if you look at them, like, for these sports games and stuff like that, is there any reason to cut off last generation? Like, there's not like, oh, this is only capable on this generation. Like, just be fucking real, right? Like, they can just downgrade the graphics or whatever. I mean, they put some of these on the Switch now. You know? Like, they have versions for the fucking Switch. So why cut off, like, the Xbox One and the PS4 if I'm those companies, when you know how many millions of gamers are there only playing on those devices? Like, I talk to some people sometimes, and it's like, yeah, I have an Xbox One or I have a PS4. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, fuck, what year is it? You know, like that's just, it's just like, there's more of them out there, I think, than there are current gen players.
Yeah.
For the casual market, they just don't care.
And it's going to probably be that way until all of their favorite games that they buy, you know, every year, can basically force their hand.
Yeah. Or these people have a PC also. And it's like, well, if I really want to get the bells and whistles, I'll just play my PC, you know, like.
Too, and you don't have to pay for the online, and you can usually find things cheaper. Even if the publishers try to charge 70, you go to, you know, CD Keys or GG Deals, and you get it for, you know, $10-$20 off sometimes. So,
but yeah, at launch too, like, you can find deals for these games like at launch for $20 off. You know, it's crazy.
It's yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I hope at some point they figure out how to get that number up. I mean, bottom line, it doesn't really matter to me because most of their share price stuff isn't affected by the console. But just from a standpoint of knowing that I don't want to see them make next generation the last generation before it goes out to like third party devices kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Although that might still wind up happening anyway. But I think that might be the move that all of them make to some extent, because it's going to get to a point where ARM chips are going to probably be the preferred way because you have better control of power output or power usage. You have more control over, you know, optimization and all of these other benefits and cost cutting or cost savings for these companies, which, you know, they love that because that means more money in their pocket. I think a lot of these companies are eventually going to move away from the console and go to something that's kind of a hybrid or more of a PC, because it will be easier for the publishers and whatnot to develop for those, as opposed to, well, we got to do something for RDNA 2 and RDNA 3 and RDNA 5.2. And now just make everything more like PC, which it kind of is already with x86. But, you know, Sony has to have their own special way of things, and Xbox modifies that code a little bit more. And I don't know. I don't think it's the end for, you know, it's not doom and gloom, but it is telling. And I think they already kind of saw the writing on the wall with that, because if Hellblade released in January, February, if it was ready, I think we'd be talking about a different story. But because it's May, it misses that financial mark. So,
yeah. Do you think that'll be a mover for hardware, Hellblade 2? Like,
I don't think it's going to make up the 31%, but I do think it will be a hardware mover, because it is next gen only. It is going to be that thing that everybody saw the Series X and that at the same time. I think if anybody was on the fence or waiting to upgrade or to get a Series X in general, oh, I'm a PlayStation only player, but I like that game. Yeah, I think that will be the game that people will be like, you know what? Maybe it's time to you know, cough up the dough and hop in.
I think just in general, the slate of games all coming for the second half, like, and I know Hellblade 2 is technically before second half, but it's towards the end of the first half, right? So you have Hellblade 2 at the tail end of the first half, and then you have a loaded second half with Indiana Jones. And we already had a lot of amazing feedback from the reveal of Indiana Jones about people like, just, oh, I got to play this game, right? So in all, if you are people waiting to migrate over to get a next-gen Xbox for the console audience, I think there's definitely going to be a little bit of a push there. Is it going to make a huge difference? I don't know, because these games are also going to be on PC, right? And it all these other devices that you decide you want to play them on as well. But that's the thing, is I think Xbox is okay with that, and they're just going to sell the consoles to the audience that wants to buy them, and they're not trying to overly push for it. And especially if you look at the talk going on about them even opening up other storefronts on the next-gen Xbox, potentially, or allowing Epic or Steam or other things onto the hardware in the future as well. Like, that's kind of like getting ahead of where the digital storefront world is going to be, and regulation and all these kind of things, to be like the open platform. You know, they're trying to argue against that case for in the cell phone market, right? We want our storefronts on Apple devices, on Google devices, and all that kind of stuff. So they can't, it's hard for them to make that argument for mobile devices, but then say, well, you can't have your storefronts here on our TV devices. You know what I mean? So they're trying to play for the bigger fish, right? And if that means opening things up, I feel like on these spaces, that I think for them, they look at it, well, maybe we'll sell more devices and maybe even consoles. But then also, you know, if we actually talk the talk and walk the walk here, and try and push the regulators and do all these things to open up the app stores on mobile devices and all this kind of stuff, that opens up even more potential for them, especially when they have such big, massive mobile games at their disposal, like Call of Duties and Candy Crush and all these other things that make so much more money. So you got to really look at where their minds are at, and console is always going to be a part of it, but it's a different way, in a different way than it used to be, you know? And I think for people, as gamers, if you just kind of stop worrying necessarily about winning the console market share and you start just worried about getting the best games at the best value, like as an Xbox consumer, you should feel pretty damn good going forward about where they're at and where they're going to be. Listen, we got a $5 super chat from RC Polygons. Appreciate you. It says, with the big increase on revenue from the ABK integration, do you think this will motivate at Microsoft to buy another big publisher like Take-Two to copy ABK? That's a great question. I feel like they would like to.
Yeah.
But I feel like they know the hurdles that it would take. And maybe we'll see what happens with the elections and stuff like that. And with the FTC and just kind of the government and how they're handling regulation and all that kind of stuff. Because another big publisher, that's the big going to be the biggest hurdle, right? Because they already had enough hard time with ridiculous arguments about ABK, and adding another one to that would be the challenge. And I think it'd be easier to pick like an Eastern publisher, right? Because mm-hmm. You have such a huge case to make about how weak you are in that market. But like for the second, like I already got the biggest Western publisher. To get like the second biggest Western publisher, like on top, already one of the biggest, like Microsoft and Xbox gaming and all that stuff is already like up there with the top gaming companies in revenue per year now, adding ABK. And they're up there, like, I think it's like number three or something. You got like Tencent, mm-hmm. And Sony, I think, and there's like Microsoft. So they're already there, you know?
And I think they could pull it off if one of the next top, let's say, five has a bad financial downturn. Like if EA like trips over their own 2 feet and stumbles down the stairs, maybe EA.
I think you could get like a Ubisoft. Ubisoft is like $3 billion or 4 billion or something like that right now.
But like a Take-Two, if they completely bumble GTA 6, that's the only way. It's not that they're impossible.
Like to GTA acquire, 6 but bombs and like it just completely destroys the company because they had all their eggs in one basket.
Yeah, that would happen. Be like, it looked, I doubt it will happen either. But I think that would be the way that they would have an easier time, because it's like nobody would want to see Take-Two completely dissolve.
Yeah.
So Microsoft would be like, hey, we could resolve that. You know, we'll still keep everything everywhere and, you know, we'll just make sure everything is in Game Pass day one.
You guys want to know when consoles are going to move? It'll be when GTA 6 drops.
Yeah.
Because that shit is not going to be on last-gen hardware, and it's not going to be on PC. So when GTA 6 drops, you are going to see a massive movement of hardware. And I tell you, like, I don't know how much it would cost to get this, like a bundle deal or some kind of marketing where you could have like a GTA 6 console with like the game included and all that shit. I don't know what it would cost either Microsoft or Sony to make that happen. But if your interest is in moving hardware, right? If you want to play that game, to like, we're going to spin big to play big and make moves here, you do that fucking deal. Because that will move hardware, right? We'll see if anybody even gets the marketing rights for GTA. Like, I don't know. It's like the biggest, it's going to be the biggest thing ever. But when that game drops, you will see a crazy influx in current gen hardware movement. Just because it's the only place you're going to be able to play.
Yeah.
Either on PlayStation 5 or Xbox.
I think Xbox needs to jump on the marketing bandwagon as much as with PlayStation, because people still think to this day games that are marketed by PlayStation are exclusive, and not realizing that it's also on Xbox, because that's all they see. Oh, that
just like it's on Xbox.
Star Wars Outlaws. You don't even know how many people come in. Oh, that's an Xbox exclusive. I'm going to get it. People buy consoles for that game. And I'm like, I did not tell them, no, it's on PlayStation 2, because I want everyone to be switching over to Xbox, because I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah, makes sense. Caper Grant with the five Canadian says, whatever happened to Perfect Dark? Has anybody heard anything about it lately? I feel like they announced it forever ago. That was announced forever ago, and if we have, if the writing's been on the wall or the hints have been out there, is that we're probably going to see that at the Summer Showcase, because they talked about it specifically after the Summer Showcase last year, and they made mention of Perfect Dark and like hitting deadlines, and like Del Gallagher about like his feelings about needing to hit those deadlines, and that, and then they kind of alluded, you'll see it soon, right? Then also you heard Phil Spencer talk about some of that stuff a little bit, about like we have stuff to share for some of those other games that have already been announced, you know. So I think this year's the year we're going to see Perfect Dark. I don't know what that tells us about when it's coming out, but I think if they show it this year, it's probably going to be due next year. But that would just be my gut feeling. I could be completely wrong, but I see a potential 2025 where we get Fable, we get Perfect Dark, we get, I don't know if it'd be too early for Gear 6, but it could be possible. And then maybe like a Forza Horizon 6.
You're talking about
2025.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think 2026 is the year of the sixes. Like I keep on saying.
Okay, so you think that makes sense.
GTA 6, Gear 6, Forza Horizon 6, and it might make the deadline by November 11th. Elder Scrolls 6 might. I say
for 2026.
Might for 26, but I won't guarantee it, but I'm pretty sure Fable is 2025. So I agree with you on that, and I agree on Perfect Dark. Like I've heard just a couple of things. It's playable, more than playable than like what they said before. Some people may not like the viewpoint, but I think they'll, once they see how it works, I think they'll enjoy that aspect of it. But I think that one we get to see in June, and then from there, we probably get it early 2025 or something like that. Unfortunately, I don't think State of Decay makes it this gen. It'll be a cross-gen, possibly at the launch of the next gen, and then we'll still get to play it on the series consoles and stuff.
Did you say
2026 to early 2027?
Did you say South of Midnight for next year?
I think that one is a possibility, but it's going to be like late 2025. Like, it's not that it's far from completion, but they do have, well, to put it lightly, to my understanding, they've reset the visual style a couple of times, but not since we saw the play, the CGI or the in-engine stuff. Like, all of that still sticks. Prior to that, they had, I think, two or three renditions that didn't make the cut. So what we saw there is the style that they're sticking with, and they probably got at least another year before that one is ready to go. So I think 2025 is their target, but it may push to early 2026.
Right. I could see like it in a crazy scenario, 2026 for Elder Scrolls 6 as well, just because if you looked at the original leaks, you know, there's supposed to be like a 3-year gap between Starfield and that. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but that's kind of what their original plan was. And I know that when they talked about Starfield, the bulk of the engine work was going to be used for both of the games, right? So that's one of the reasons why Starfield took so long, plus COVID, but they were developing all the new technology for the update for the creation engine, right? Mm-hmm. So they're able to use all that stuff for Elder Scrolls, and so it may not take as long of a development cycle building a new Elder Scrolls game, which they already have a lot of experience in. I'm not going to say it's going to be ambitious, right? But like for the building the world and the systems, it doesn't seem as like it would be as crazy as something like Starfield, where you have 1,000 planets and you're trying to figure out all this like content that has to be like generated on the fly and all these kind of things, right? Like, this is more of a traditional, even though it may be bigger than all the other ones, I don't know, but like more of a traditional type of Bethesda game, right? So maybe with the pre-production work they've already been doing on it for a long time now, plus the full production for 2 to 3 years, whatever, that would be able to be enough time to get it out the door. But I regardless, I just finish it. It'll take as long as you need, Todd. I know, like, we're all itching for it because it's been forever since Skyrim, but I just want it to be amazing because I want that like next leap from what Fallout 4 was, because that was really the last type of these games we've seen, right? So Fallout 4, and we had Starfield, which is kind of different for them a little bit, and then, you know, next will be Elder Scrolls 6. I want to see massive difference, you know. I want to see like what Starfield did, but in that just one open world thing. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. Well, look at it, like, visually comparing, even after the next gen update for Fallout 4, which looks amazing for what it is. It's Starfield still has that extra like polish and shine to it. Yeah. So it's even if it's just on par with Starfield stuff, which it more than likely will be, just a different setting kind of thing, I think we'll be pleasantly or happy with the overall. And I don't think we'll have to worry about the loading screen, since it's not like you're traveling from planet to planet. You're basically going, I mean, there might be ones for you're walking into the castle gates for one town or something like that. It's huge or something, but I think we'll be pleasantly surprised on that when that thing comes out.
I still don't think people really comprehend the ambition of what they created with Starfield, and like being able to land wherever you want, kind of on a planet, and have that generate, and then really be able to walk for like forever, really seemingly before you run into like that invisible wall thing. But then have that, we can build a base in all these different places and all these dungeons that are generated and all that kind of stuff that feel like they're part of the world. I don't know. Some people don't like it, but I was blown away by that shit. I've never seen that before in a video game done that way. Like, at that ambition with the graphics that it had, like, all together, I think it's like a crazy accomplishment. But like something like Skyrim or Fallout is a different kind of thing because it's one land, you know? So it'll be interesting to see how they do with that. But yeah, maybe it'll be Fable next year, Perfect Dark. 2025 is hard to predict beyond that. I do think South of Midnight could be there. Maybe Contraband, if it's not this year.
Yeah.
And then maybe we see something for Halo. I don't know what's going on. I know that the next big mainline Halo is probably further away, but like maybe something interesting there. Marcus Fenix Collection could be either later this year or next year. If Gears 6 is 2026, Marcus Fenix Collection would be 2025. Right? But yeah, we know we can anticipate four big games, at least in 2025. They're going to be delivering that in 2024. Flight Sim, Avowed, Indiana Jones, Hellblade 2. That's four right there. That's on top of Tower Born and Aura, all these other Game Pass games, and the other things that they've already announced as well. So, actually Starfield DLC is supposed to hit this year too. We haven't even seen.
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty crazy. Back to the financials real quick, because we kind of talked about the negative thing with the hardware. Now we're going to talk about the things where, hey, all the positive press from the big games media seemed to try and say that this was deceiving. It's unfair, right? How dare Xbox make these moves and then use it in their financials? Why would you acquire a company and then use it in your financials? You're just trying to deceive people. I cannot fucking comprehend how some like a site like IGN can actually have this thought to even put this in a headline. But they said it was deceiving, that the financials were deceiving because they included ABK. They fucking bought ABK. They are part of Xbox. They're part of Microsoft. There's nothing deceitful about that. They are part of the company. The sooner that IGN and other big games media and other people finally start to fucking realize that, I think you'll be doing the gaming community a service to actually talk about it in the right way instead of separating it for some reason in your mind. But they got that shit. Now, even if you didn't want them to, if you didn't want Xbox to get ABK, which we know IGN didn't, we know Dan Stapleton especially didn't there, they got that shit. It's through. It's done. If you don't like the fact that their earnings are up because of it, who cares? I don't care. It's not deceitful. That's for damn sure. In fact, they actually have to disclose this stuff. So I don't understand what they're trying to say here. But content and services are up 62%. So deceitful. The Xbox is a fucking beast now, guys. Content and services up by 62%. Gaming revenue is up by 51%. And here's where I think, you know, despite ABK, all this other kind of stuff, this is kind of really interesting. Quarter three records in streamed hours console usage. Console usage and monthly active devices. And remember, just was it like a couple days ago that we found out that there was 5 million people concurrently playing a Fallout game? I mean, that's pretty fucking nuts. So then Satya said this, which also caused a stir. We are committed to meeting players where they are by bringing great games to more people on more devices. We set third quarter records for game streaming hours, console usage, and monthly active devices. So overall, this kind of sends the message that, hey, there's a shit ton of people playing Xbox games out there. And they're making more money than they ever have before. Yeah, big part from ABK. But they're part of Xbox now. Diablo is going to have a big expansion this year. There's going to be a new Call of Duty drop at the end of this year. That will be in Game Pass. Should be in Game Pass day one because that's what they said, right? We're going to have, finally, all the ABK games end up dropping into Game Pass, which there's suggestions that it could be happening sooner than later, maybe around summer showcase time. That would make a big splash. At the end of the summer showcase, you say, oh, and by the way, play all of these fucking games in Game Pass today. You make that the official thing at the end of it. You want to sell Game Pass? Do that at the summer show, right? There's lots of reasons to be positive about where Xbox is right now. Because if they're making money, it means they're going to keep making games. And things are up. Shout out to everybody in the community. If you do like the content here, hit the like button, share it out, sub, notification bell, all that kind of stuff. Greatly appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, is there any surprises there, Fuzz? Because it seems like some of the gaming community is surprised, but they thought it was deceitful. I don't know.
Yeah, because, you know, they bought them. That shouldn't count. That's like cheating, right? You know, yeah. That's taking the shortcut.
Yeah, we talked to in the pre-show, and you were joking, is kind of like, you know, NFL team or NBA team, like making a bunch of awesome trades or acquisitions and signing the big free agents in the offseason, and then them winning the championship, right? And they're being like, you know, it was only because of those new players. You know, it doesn't count. They can't hold up that trophy now. You know, like they're not allowed to win. They're not allowed to do good. They cheated. They got the good guys. They got the good players. They got the MVP. They're not allowed to go and get the MVP.
No, That's against the rules, apparently, I guess. Or at least in gaming, it seems that way. No, but I think a lot of those same people are the same ones that line up for those championship parades in their city anyway. So it's like they just want to point it out because their preferred platform aren't making those same types of moves. In fact, they're making more moves of the stuff like what Xbox is doing that they don't like. And that's where they're really kind of torn because of the whole, you know, PC thing. You see the writing on the wall in the day and date stuff. But yeah, it's great to see your acquisition pay off. Like, nothing would be worse for them to acquire them. And that reminds me, these same people, if they acquired them and revenue wasn't up, they'd be like, see, Xbox is, you know, ruining ABK. So it's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Right. But the fact that they made this investment, it's paying off. More money in their pockets. Yes, it goes into the shareholders' pockets. Yeah, it goes into the executives' pockets. But it also goes back into the studios as a whole. That may help greenlight more projects. That may help greenlight more tech and stuff that they use, like kind of like with Ninja Theory with their mocap studio. So if more of these studios can benefit from more revenue overall, maybe eventually they can get to that point where Call of Duty doesn't have to be an annual thing. Maybe Warzone can fill that void, and you know, these teams can kind of rotate and put other IPs out there or bring older IPs back in a new way.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're up, that I don't know why people complain. Like you should be happy. Like, obviously gaming is healthy enough for people to make money. If gaming is healthy and this is the hobby you claim to love, that's all that should matter at that point. But yeah, I don't understand the mental gymnastics to you know, void this you know, increase in sales because you bought it. It's like you buy a house, the original owner, like the Dirt Griggity definitely put this perfectly, where he was like, you buy a house, it already had the kitchen remodeled, the deck was done, they finished the basement and stuff. It's now your house, right?
Right.
The old owner can't come back there and be like, oh, I want my man cave back. No.
Yeah.
It's my house. I bought it. It's mine.
So, Bobby Kotick says, hey, can we install the cubicle crawl department again, please? Where did it go?
No, but it's funny to me that they want to, you know, put that asterisk because it's like, no, that's not fair. You didn't follow the rules. Like, there are no rules in business. It's make money or go out of business is the rules in business. So they're making money. Either be happy for them or just be happy for your platform that they're still around as well. I don't know. I don't know what to
tell you. Yeah, it's weird, man. There's like so much out there about wanting to see these companies like fail, right? That's the part I don't ever understand. Like, I understand criticism about like not delivering what you want, or like are you fucking up to the point where you're gonna not give me any games anymore, or whatever? You know what I mean? I understand like the criticisms and things like that, but like all these fucking numbers are just like so good, except for the one, right? And it's the hardware console sales, and it seems like that's the only one for a lot of people that matters, and that has mattered for forever. And it's just that's not where the industry is anymore. In fact, PlayStation themselves have said that. They have said that themselves. They have said they need to go to these other devices and all that kind of stuff to go beyond the diminishing console space, right? So once I think us as gamers can catch up to the mentality of this, like, people will be able to cope a little bit better with the fact that 62% is up with content services and all this stuff. It's a pretty damn positive thing for a company. Yeah, they acquired a huge, massive company to help make that happen, for sure, right? But, like, that doesn't account for the 5 million people playing Fallout at the same time. Do you think that Psycho, how many copies of Fallout have you sold at GameStop?
I keep selling out. I keep selling out.
Do the people, the customers Fallout. Come in there and say, like, which is the most pop, like, which console should I buy because of hardware sales? Or do they just buy whatever the fucking device they want to play it on?
They just buy it wherever they right. have it.
So they don't say, like, hey, wait, before I make this decision, which platform to buy Fallout on? Can you tell me who is winning the console race right now? They don't ask that question when they go into GameStop. I'm just curious, from the average consumer, like, before I make this crucial decision to play this old game, please tell me, sir, who's winning the console no. race?
They the majority of the casual gamers, when they ask, where the games, where the value is, and if it, and sometimes, what's the more powerful console? But majority of time, it's value and what games are where. That's all they care about. That's all they care about. And when you say Xbox, you can play 360 majority of the three, or not majority, but you can play a lot of the 360 games and original Xbox games, all Xbox One games on your new Series X. And like, oh, can I play PlayStation 1, 2, 3 on PlayStation 5? No, you can only play PS4, majority of the PS4 games. So a lot of people see that, and that's what they ask. But Fallout keeps getting sold out on Xbox, and there's not, I never had too many PS3 versions of Fallout 3 or New Vegas. So, you know, majority of the time, like, I just got I got Game of the Year edition of Fallout 3 and the Ultimate New Vegas, Fallout 3 New Vegas, just came off because when you trade a game in, we have it in the back, hold it, and then when it's time, you know, making sure it's not stolen, then, you know, it comes out on the floor. And it came out today, and they're already gone. People are coming in, they're asking. The show itself is really doing a lot of things. But no one's coming in and telling me, okay, who's selling the most consoles? No one fucking gives a shit. Only people on Twitter fucking give two fucks about a fucking corporate billion-dollar corporate business that,
yeah,
with their financials, making sure that they're fine.
I think more or less it's people like, I play on PlayStation or I play on Xbox, right? And this just the reality is, there's just more people that play on PlayStation, and I think it's going to stay the same for a long time. Now, at the end of the day, like, there's still more people that play Xbox games, which is interesting. Right?
There's more engagement with Xbox players versus PlayStation, because the majority of the people that are on PlayStation are casuals. They're only there for your FIFA, your Call of Duty, and your Maddens. That's it. That is fucking it, people. And you need to, and the sales of these first party should tell you how many people are actually fucking buying these games. If 2 million people are buying first party titles, well, guess what? If you have 50 million consoles and only 2 million people are buying it, something don't fucking add up right there, people. You gotta fucking read between the lines. Don't fucking sit there and be like, but the sales are up on hardware. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. But you sold 2 million copies of software of Spider-Man. But yeah. Probably one of the most, from a casual aspect, it's fucking Spider-Man. It's beloved by many, and you don't sell many. You have 50 million. You don't even sell a quarter of your fucking user base. Are you fucking kidding me? Mm-hmm. Just think and let that resonate there, people.
It'll be, I don't know what the numbers are in Spider-Man now, but like, I know Final Fantasy VII Rebirth didn't do what they wanted. I know that Final Fantasy 16 didn't do what they wanted. I know that, Foam Stars didn't do what they wanted. I know that Rise of the Ronin didn't do what they wanted. Like, the exclusive games just aren't selling as well as they'd hoped, right? I'm not saying they're bad games, for whatever. Like, there's an audience for them, right? For sure, right? But, like, at the end of the day, you know, it's not all rainbows and sunshine right there, right now, right? And it seems like so much focus gets put on the negative aspects there, but like, it's just like you said, it's like a casual market. They don't even pay attention to that shit. They don't care, you know. It's just like, you know, I've been playing on PlayStation, and I want to finally upgrade. I'll fucking get the PS5 and play FIFA or Madden, or, you know. But like you said, Fuzz, earlier, like, a lot of people aren't going to switch until they feel like they have to, right? I think it'll be GTA 6. GTA 6 is going to move a lot of people. Right.
It will. But a lot of people, I mean, to this day, are still buying PS4 and Xbox One because they were on PS3 and 360. Just up to this point, people are not going out in droves and buying. It's a slow. That's why at the end of generations, the numbers get bigger at the end, because people finally switch over, or there's something that makes them come over. GTA could be one of those, but still, at the end of the day, it's still hard to say because of, you know, the fucking economy is not the best, so people are not making that move yet.
Well, I think because it's technology too. Like, I hear people talk about there's not any next gen games all the time, and that's why we're in a rut and all this kind of stuff, right? Well, and like, I really I don't know.
What is
a next gen game?
Well, when you go next gen from PS2 to PS3, from 360 Xbox One or original Xbox 360, that jump was significant.
We already talked before, but this generation happened, right? That was a conversation. We're never going to see that kind of jump again, because the fidelity's already reached that. We got fucking Red Dead Redemption 2 on VCR Xbox. That is still one of the most detailed, best looking games ever fucking made, right? And like, we look at that. We looked at games like Division launching last generation too, and they talk about the detail and all this kind of stuff, right? We look at this stuff, and like, I just really try and fathom a lot of these conversations, like, what is a next generation game? Because really, we've already kind of been in this thing where fidelity scales, scope is kind of there. And it's usually like mechanics aren't as scalable. That's why a game like Starfield's not really possible on a last gen console. But like, I feel like a lot of these games are capable between cross gen. That's why they do it. Right.
Can you imagine playing Starfield on an Xbox One?
No, because it wouldn't work. Like, it wouldn't work.
32 right? minutes later, I finally got onto the moon. Let's go.
Yeah, but like, but that's my point. Like, there's certain things, you know, that like are not really compatible across generations. And
yeah,
with fidelity wise, we've been at a good place for a long time. And I don't know what the next step is there for people to finally be like, this is next gen. You know, and we're finally, maybe it's Hellblade 2, because that's what the articles are saying, right? But that's like a 5 hour to 8 hour experience. It's really isolated, kind of where they can focus on that. You know, you're not going to see that in something as grand as like a Starfield, or something as like ambitious as like an big ass Assassin's Creed game or anything like those games are already kind of achieving the max of what they can be. And on this current gen hardware and on PC, like, if you play also like PC and you play some of these games that people say are not next gen, you play them on a PC that's tricked out with all the bells and whistles, you'll see, oh, okay, this is fucking next level, right? But the consoles just aren't capable of doing that. They've never have been capable of going beyond what the highest end $2,500, $3,000 PCs are. You know, and I feel like people are expecting to see that on a $500 to $400 console. And we're never going to see that. So for me, what the biggest difference was this generation was frame rate, the feeling of the games, the loading speeds, the quality of life improvements, the full on backwards compatibility, the FPS boost, the updates, all of those kind of things. All this quality of life to make it like I have this device can play all these fucking games and they play them better than they've ever been able to play before. And frame rates are smoother. All this stuff is better than it's ever been before. And that's where I've kind of like do the kickback on the 30 a lot, because I think the developers have different priorities than I do. You know what I mean? As far as like what I like to experience, you know? But is that really what's the fidelity trade-off there, you know? And it, for feeling versus quality of graphics and all that stuff. And what do people want when they say next gen? Because we haven't been getting any next gen games. I don't know. I've been playing fucking games this entire generation on my Series X and PlayStation 5, and they fucking look better than they did last generation. They play better than they did last generation. And the games that came out last generation look and play better than they did then on the new hardware. So it's like, I don't really get that whole sentiment. And I think eventually, you know, we'll have new hardware, and then people will say that about that, and people are like, oh, that was so great in the Series X and PS5 generation. Like, I don't understand a lot of that stuff, but I see it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, for me, other than the 60 frames, better AI.
AI is a thing.
As of recent, I think Dragon's Dogma was like the shining light of how you can, you know, script better AI or have AI that feel less like AI to some extent. I mean, some of the stuff, some of the sayings get repetitive.
It feels like you have co-op partners with you when you're playing, right?
Yeah, and they interact with you. They give you high fives, or if you're falling, they catch you, or if you get knocked down, they pick you up, or they're like, oh, I know the way to, you know, this is where the quest takes us, or something along those lines. Like, that type of stuff, if they could do more of that in games where it doesn't feel like you're finding somebody's, you know, missing leg or a sandwich that got stolen by a dinosaur or something, I think we'd be better off. But I wish the devs focus less on 4K and more on 1440, because then you would have a little bit more overhead. Mm-hmm. Or some more of the bells and whistles or more frames kind of thing where, you know, on PC, that's where I live, 1440. You know, I have it where it can upscale beyond that, but DLSS 1440, turn everything to ultra, and it runs like butter. And I know consoles can't quite do that, but if you can run everything on high at 1440, I think it would be a game changer, because you would probably have more 60 frame games that,
or at least have it as an option. You know, I gotta give PlayStation props for that, because most of their first party games have that like middle option there, that being one of them, right? Either 1080 or whatever, because they didn't even have 1440 support at launch, which was really stupid. But yeah, like either 1080 or they have that middle one, you know, performance, ray tracing, performance, and quality, or something like that, is usually what they do. I don't know. Yeah. I like options, you know. But that's been a hallmark so far this generation, early on at least. So we're a little bit of losing that now. And it seems like for the sake of the games that people are calling next gen. So, I don't know.
It either looks extra pretty or it plays extra pretty. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or on PC, it looks and plays extra pretty.
Right.
That's about the best way to put it.
Yeah. But, you don't have to make the choice.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You know, I think eventually, like, all these games are going to keep getting updated and be even better and better and better. That's one of the positive things about the digital age, right? But yeah, I don't share the sentiment that we haven't gotten anything next gen. There hasn't been anything that's like groundbreaking. I feel like we're missing like that exciting new, like, this changed gaming forever type game, you know, that we've gotten the last couple generations, and maybe those are going to come.
There hasn't been,
but
yeah, I think Hellblade 2 will be that game that, you know, you get the pretty graphics. I think that's what people want to see, the hyper realistic. But again, no one can sit there and play and develop nothing but hyper-realistic games, or you don't get nothing for a year and a half, almost 2 years. So, but, hey, well, I do. But I even do though have
they
don't run.
Like this is, I mean, to be real, like PlayStation first-party games have been really pretty, but they haven't been like wow that much crazier than last generation. You know, it's not to feel like this was justified that I needed this hardware, but like they've been better. This is what I expected, like for the kind of leap that we're getting with the technology. Maybe next leap will be better, as Sarah Bond says, the biggest generational leap ever. Don't know what that means or how they're going to pull it off or what that means for gameplay and graphics and frame rates and all that kind of stuff. I just want my games to fucking look good and play good. Right? Yep. And if that happens, I'm good. It doesn't, not every game has to be the craziest thing I've ever fucking seen. I expect that from companies like Rockstar, right? When those companies put out those games, that's when I'm like, blow me the fuck away, right? Because we waited like 15 years. But for most companies, it's like, it's the next game. It's a big improvement on the last one, and they got better graphics and gameplay than the last one, and this is kind of what it's always been like, you know? I think we're all a little hard to please sometimes. We're fickle. Gamers are fickle.
All the frames, all the pixels.
Yeah. All everything. Yeah, everything. Halo has to have every mode and every Halo game ever put in, and it has to be better than any other Halo game ever before. And it has to have the longest campaign it has ever had, and it has to have more co-op missions than ever before, co-op features. It has to have the best forge it's ever had. It has to have the most maps that it's ever had. It has to have the best gameplay that it's ever had. It has to have all these things all in one at launch.
Oh, and split screen. Yeah. And gotta have the split screen too.
But no other game, you know, it's just weird. Like pick and choose what to focus on. I wonder if the expectations and mindset will be different when the next Halo game comes out. I doubt it, but we'll see. When no other games have all this shit, do we still expect Halo to have everything like that at launch?
Developers or IGN and all of them will expect it because it was there before. It has to be now and never change. Status quo, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, it's okay if Insomniac and, you know, PlayStation games can just leave shit out. It's okay.
I have an idea.
They're bangers.
I have an idea, Psycho. I know what they should name the next Halo. This would be the biggest burn of ever. You have your multiplayer and your campaign and co-op, all that stuff at launch, right? You do it. You go all out. You call the next Halo Halo Factions.
That would be funny. I was thinking Halo Factions or Halo Resistance.
Halo Factions. In fact, actually, that's what the next Gears should be called as well.
Gears Factions.
Gears Factions. Man. Halo Factions and Gears Factions. We deliver.
Yeah. Man, you want to see PlayStation cast turn into Karens?
Oh, my God.
Halo Factions.
Don't know.
I got to talk to the manager. Where's the manager? Me to talk to the manager. This is not right. Xbox is doing things. No, they're not supposed to be like this. Xbox is bad Xbox. Xbox sucks.
Is that your GameStop customer? Or, like, who is that?
No. That's macroeconomics.
Oh.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, man.
Yeah, I talk to human resources.
I need to talk to human. This is stuff not right. You know, this shit is not impending in the fucking.
I can't even go. I'm fucking tired. Shit.
Oh, man. All right. Well, you know, I think I mean, there wasn't a lot to talk about today, but we kind of dove into the financial stuff and talk about what's going on in the Xbox world. What's up with Xbox? We just kind of tried to lay it out for you. A lot to look forward to this year, not to look forward to next year, and the following, and the following, and the following. So I'm hyped. But let's go ahead and get everybody out here. I want to appreciate the chat. Thank you very much for being here. As always, if you do like the content, hit the like button, share it out, sub, notification bell, all that kind of cool stuff. But Fuzzy Belvedere, tell everybody where they can find you, sir.
Oh, as always, thank you for having me on. Awesome being on here with you and Psycho tonight. Thank you for everybody in the chat for checking us out. Greatly appreciate it. Man, just awesome time to be a gamer. Definitely check your backlogs if you're in a rut. Just pick something randomly. I'm pretty sure you'll find something. But for those who want to hear my rambles and rants on anything gaming related, just follow me on the app, formerly known as Twitter, at @Fuzzy_Belvedere. Also find me, might not have a show, but if we do, come check out PTK Blam's channel tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Shop podcast. And Sunday, do a search for Pixelated Echoes with me and 3-Bit at 8:30 p.m. on that channel. And then hope to see you guys on Monday right back here for FSP at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Monday, be there, be square.
Right on, man. Appreciate you, Fuzz. And what about you, Psycho?
Chat, thank you for coming out. Phenomenal seeing you guys coming day in, day out, that we whenever we have shows. Phenomenal. You guys bring it every time. Thank you for coming out. I know it's been it felt like it's been more than a fucking couple days. You know, but it's great to do some podcasting again on a Friday. And you find me everywhere at Psychonauts 8. Social media. I go on there, cause some fuckery. But it's all in good fun. And that's what we do. And you can find me Mondays, FSP. Next Monday, I think we're still doing it. 100th episode. So catch it up. Definitely catch it. And then I'll back here again on Friday. And Mef, where can they find you, good buddy?
Yeah, you said it. We'll be back Monday for FSP episode 100, and then we'll have PM and the PM and Xbox Ultimate next week. Shout out to Pong. Hope you feel better, bro. Everybody out there, thank you all for watching the content, and we will see you all next week. Peace out. Bye.
Later, everybody. I never change.
Oh, that's for damn sure. Oh.